Good morning, New Life family, and everyone watching today. Happy Easter to everybody. We are celebrating, obviously, our risen Savior this morning. And I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from this thought. I love this. Death is defeated. Death is defeated. Bryant Wright writes this. He says, Christ told the truth when he predicted that he would be killed and then rise again. And he really did. But where truth is concerned, humankind is divided into three basic groups. First of all, there are those who believe that Jesus told the truth and that he is the truth and that he really rose from the dead. These are the followers of Christ. There are also those who have never heard about all of this. The mission of the church, therefore, is to tell this good news to those that have never heard. And then there are those who simply refuse to believe. And God's word is very clear concerning this group. By refusing to believe, you are choosing to be eternally separated from God. And so this morning, we're going to talk about this risen Savior, the fact that it really is true. And we're also going to talk about how he defeated death. So let's turn, first of all, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And really, this entire chapter is just awesome on the resurrection of Christ. But we're going to just pick out some bits and pieces from this chapter. So let's begin at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. And it says this, Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, let's skip down to verse number 12 of that same chapter. And it says this, But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Well, let's skip down again to verse number 19, the same chapter, and it says this, If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I want to stop there for just a moment. You know, Christ being called the first fruits of those that have died or have fallen asleep, it is really saying this. Others in Scripture that we read about that were raised from the dead, whether prayed over by Christ or someone else, maybe a disciple, or even in the Old Testament, some of the prophets, where someone was raised from the dead in answer to prayer, the difference between those people being raised from the dead and Jesus being raised from the dead is this. All of those other people, even though they were raised from the dead, they lived only to die again. But Jesus, being the first fruit of those that have been raised from the dead, he rose never to die again. That's the difference, and that's why we can proclaim that Jesus absolutely defeated death. Death is defeated because of the resurrection of Christ. And so he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That's an awesome, awesome scripture to think about. I want us to go a little bit later in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, and let's go to chapter number 2, and we're going to pick up there at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. But remember now, we're talking about death is defeated. Verse 4 says this, But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. I've always loved that portion of this scripture, is that we not only have been raised up with Christ, but that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, physically, we're not there yet in heaven, but in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, we really are. That's why Paul says that we now are seated with him in heavenly realms in Christ. And then the next verse, verse 7, says this, all of this in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I love that. Billy Graham adds this. He says, Jesus is the crucified Christ. Good works won't get us to heaven. That's what we just read in Ephesians. Only what Jesus did when he died in our place and shed his blood can open heaven's door for us. That's the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Billy Graham continues. He says, in addition, Jesus is not only the crucified Christ, he is the conquering Christ. He rose from the dead as the conqueror of sin and death and hell. And because the risen Christ holds the keys of hell and death, we don't ever have to experience them for ourselves. Because we know Christ, because we believe him to be our risen Savior, the one that defeated death, you and I don't ever have to experience hell or death, eternal separation from God. We know that physically, one day, if Jesus delays his coming, we will die. We understand that physically, but we'll never be eternally separated from God. We'll never have that type of spiritual death because we know Christ as Savior. And then this verse from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, tells us this, Jesus suffered death so that by the grace of God, he, Jesus, might taste death for everyone. Oh, that's a great, great thought. Jesus came to die on the cross for all of us so that we would not have to go through that type of death to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus did it once and for all. And then also in Hebrews, same chapter, chapter 2, skip down to verses 14 and 15. And it says this, he, Jesus, he too shared in their humanity, our humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You know, the devil kind of hung that over humanity's head, is that one day you're going to die because of that original sin committed by Adam and Eve. Therefore, sin entered the world, and therefore that separated humanity from God. And that's why Jesus came as the sinless Lamb of God to bring us back to the Father. He tasted death for all of us on the cross so that you and I would not have to go there and do such a horrible death. Also, let's go a little bit further. Let's go backwards in Scripture to the book of Romans, and let's go to chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6, and let's pick up at verse number 3. And Paul writes here, he says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, or that we might experience newness of life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly, I love that word, certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with or destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. We just talked about that. He's the first fruits of the grave, and because he lives, we're going to live also. He cannot die again, because death no longer has the mastery over him. Boy, I love that. I really love that. And let's go back a little bit also to the book of Acts, and let's go to chapter number 2. This is where Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and just one verse from that sermon on the day of Pentecost, verse number 24, and it says this, "But God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Death could not keep Jesus in the grave. Jesus said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And he lived up to his word. Praise God. I like this also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "Jesus has destroyed death. He's defeated death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the good news that is being preached." Even this morning, I can share with you the fact of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His defeat of death on that Easter morning when he rose victorious over death and the grave. And so life and immortality come to light through this gospel, this good news that we're preaching about this morning. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "For Christ died for sins once and for all." In the Old Testament, the priests would once a year, they would have to kill a sacrifice of an animal that would only roll sins over for another year, never removing sin, but only rolling it over for another year. But Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, when he gave his life on the cross, he did it once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and me to God. He was put to death. Jesus was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the spirit, dead but alive. I love that. Romans 8:11 tells us this. This is concerning us. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that lives in you. You and I that know Christ as our Savior, we've asked him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our hearts and live within us. The word tells us very plainly here that he will give life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit of God who now lives within us. God is with us, God is for us, but most importantly, God is in us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says this, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." That's just an awesome scripture. Paul, who wrote almost half of our New Testament, he says, "I want to know Christ." That word "know" is yada. It means to be intimate with God. It's the same word that in Genesis where it says Adam knew his wife Eve. He was intimate with her, and she produced a son. And this same word, "I want to know Christ, I want to yada Christ, I want to be intimate with him, I want to know him intimately, and I want to know about the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings of Christ." Paul says in one place, "I die daily." He says, "I die to my wants, to my dreams, my plans, and I want to live unto Christ." You and I must do the same thing, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable act of worship. And we should no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might know what God's will is for our lives. That's so awesome. And then he says, I want to become like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then I love this. Jesus himself tells us this in John 11, 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I love that. I love that. And then he goes on in John chapter 14 and verse 19. And Jesus says this, because I live, you shall live also. What a great promise that God has given us through Christ. This risen Savior, the one that defeated death, he said, because I live, because I was resurrected, you're going to live also one day. And even though you die, yet you will live again forever. God will raise us from the dead. The Lord himself will descend from heaven one day with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ rise first, and then those of us that are alive and remain are caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, encourage one another with these words. Guys, I want to encourage you this morning. If you know Christ as your Savior, that's the blessed hope, is his soon return. And those of you that may not know Christ yet as your Savior, if you confess your sins, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far will God remove our transgressions from us. And he says, I'll take all of your sins and I'll cast them into the depths of the sea and I'll never bring them up to you again. See, when God forgives us, God forgets. We're justified by Christ. It's as if we had never done it, just as if we had never sinned when we're forgiven by God through Christ. And so again, guys, this morning, I want to encourage you, commit your hearts afresh and anew to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He has defeated death. He's our risen Savior. And here's the kicker. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus loves us so much that he's constantly interceding on our behalf to our Father in heaven. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. So Father, this morning, I ask you to come in to every heart and every life afresh and anew. Those of us that know you, draw us closer than we've ever been. To those, Lord, that are even receiving you this morning, come into their hearts, come into their lives. Let them feel and sense your presence. Let them know how much you love them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for that everlasting life that we have through your Son, Jesus. We receive that by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great Easter Sunday. Enjoy your day with your family. Be safe. We love you. Take care.